Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Fuck the front line, bitch.
Any of you fucking pricks move, and I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you.
It's showtime, folks.
Hello, movie fans all around the world. Yeah, this is Wade Needham here, the Cinema Flare Podcast. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to the program here. We got a new podcast, new year, 2022. Here we go. We're ready, man. I'm ready. Are you ready? I know. Come on. I know. 2022 hopefully is going to have some really good movies going on, right? 2021 had some good movies too. As a matter of fact, that's what this episode of the podcast, the Cinema Flare Podcast, is going to be about. Talking about a movie from 2021. Well, of course, because there hasn't really been any, like, officially new releases for 2022 just yet. Scream's going to be coming out. That's going to be a release in 2022. Of course, made in 2021. But one of the last movies that I saw, actually, I think it was the last movie that I saw in 2021, was Spider-Man No Way Home. It came out, what date did that come out? December 13th, 2021. I saw it on New Year's Eve. Yeah, I saw it on New Year's Eve. So literally the last movie that I saw of the year, last new release, that is, of the year. The plot of Spider-Man No Way Home says, with Spider-Man's identity now revealed, our friendly neighborhood web slinger is unmasked and no longer able to separate his normal life as Peter Parker from the high stakes of being a superhero. When Peter asks for help from Doctor Strange, the stakes become even more dangerous, forcing him to discover what it truly means to be Spider-Man. Yeah. The budget for this movie was $200 million. $200 million. That's a lot of money. But they made that back and more. The box office earned $1.4 billion. The runtime is 148 minutes for this, distributed by Sony Pictures. Produced by Columbia Pictures, Marvel Studios, and Pascal Pictures as well. Directed by John Watts. And a really good all-star cast. Tom Holland, Zendaya, Benedict Cumberbatch. What a name, right? Jon Favreau, Jamie Foxx, Willem Dafoe, Alfred Molina, Marissa Tomei, Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire also reprising their roles as their versions of both Peter Parker / Spider-Man in this movie. According to this little tidbit right here, it became the highest grossing film of 2021. It was the 11th highest grossing film of all time and set several other box office records, including those for films released during the COVID-19 pandemic. A sequel is currently in development. I think the movie's been out long enough for us to, you know, kind of talk about it a little bit. I'm new to these new Spider-Man movies. There was the week of Christmas that I watched the previous two, which was Homecoming and Far From Home. Homecoming came out 2017. Far From Home came out 2019. I got to tell you real quick, though. I just got to give you a little bit of a background with my history of watching these Marvel movies. I'm going to start with what they call the Marvel Cinematic Timeline, right? Which is the Iron Man movie that came out in 2007. I watched that in the movie theater. I really loved that movie. I think today, by today's standards, it still holds up as a really, really solid film. The first Iron Man movie, like, really set the tone for some really good stuff going on there. And then I remember Iron Man 2 came out. I really liked that. I didn't really care for Iron Man 3 that much. I think I only saw it the one time in the movie theater. Like, the Thor movie came out, I kind of liked that. It wasn't too bad. I think I turned the second one off in the middle of it. I didn't really care for it. I don't really have that many good memories that much of watching the first Avengers movie when that first came out as well. And that was pretty much it, all the way up until the week of Christmas. And then I was like, you know what? Now that I got this Regal Unlimited thing, and I can go see movies for, you know, $21 a month, I don't have to spend, you know, $12 per movie and, you know, drain my bank account by seeing like 5 or 6 movies every month. I can go see all these movies just for the one fee of $21 a month. I wanted to go see Spider-Man, but I didn't want to go in there blind. So I was like, I'm going to watch the other two. So I watched the other two. 2 days before Christmas and then on Christmas Eve to catch up. I was very impressed. Tom Holland is a fantastic Peter Parker in Spider-Man. The whole cast, you know, the guy that got to play the best friend of Peter Parker. What's his name? I'm already drawing blanks right now. Like I said, I've only watched these movies with like one time, you know, from Christmas to right now. Ned, right? That was his name, Ned. The chunky dude. I get to say that because I'm chunky too. So the fat guy, the fat best friend. That's what I am. I'm 38 years on this planet. I've always been the fat best friend. I've never been the lead guy. But yeah, no, I think they got great chemistry together. I think Zendaya's got phenomenal chemistry as well with Tom Holland. I wasn't really ever sold on her acting that much until Euphoria came out. And then to watch how she is in the Spider-Man movies, where she kind of has like that thing that like Mark Wahlberg has when acting, where it's like it's the same, but it's not the same at the same time. If that makes any sense, you know, it's them playing. It's like Ben Affleck does the same thing, right? You know, it's them. They got like, they bring the same exact thing to every character they play. But at the same time, there's just something about it that just still draws you in, even though it's the same crap. That's the vibes that I got from her. But anyway, when I watched Homecoming, there was like a lot of things where I was like, well, what's going on here? Like, you know, there's no backstory, nothing like that. They were just briefly mentioning the whole bit by a spider thing. And he's already got this relationship with Tony Stark. And I'm like, all right, I know I'm missing out on something. And then there was references in Far From Home as well. And I was like, there's just, it has to be callbacks to other movies. Movies that I haven't seen, or maybe stuff that I don't remember from the movies that I did see. So after I watched those, I decided I'm going to go into Disney Plus. And I'm going to look and see. I'm going to see what Disney Plus says that they have a timeline, right, for these Marvel movies, not from a theatrical release timeline, but they have the cinematic universe timeline where you watch these movies and it's supposed to be in a like a chronological order for it to make sense. And it started with Captain America. So I watched Captain America and I liked it. Compared to all these other Marvel movies, Captain America, the first one, it was a very, very basic movie. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, like, it wasn't completely complex. There wasn't, like, explosions and cussing and like, all this destruction, like, just glorified like crazy. It was a very nice, simple story. Had a really good balance of action. It was a wholesome story in a way, too. And it really helped be that it took place in the time that it did. You know, for that, you just can't really go over the top during, you know, the time period that takes place. And I think that really helped it out because it made it stand out and was different than the other Marvel movies. So I watched, you know, I'm starting to watch them in order and whatnot. And I'm going to do a whole nother podcast down the road when I'm finished watching these, to give my overall review of all of these movies. But I just wanted to give you a little background into that. The latest movie I watched that's according to the Disney Plus Cinematic Universe timeline, this morning I finished Black Panther. I want to give my thoughts on it right now. But like I said, I want to do a whole podcast. I want to dedicate a whole episode to my thoughts on the entire Cinematic Universe timeline. this episode here is about Spider-Man. And we're 10 minutes into right here to this episode, and I have not given my thoughts on Spider-Man No Way Home. But I'll say this. Since in the universe, I'm already caught up now to Black Panther. And I've watched Civil War. Spider-Man has made sense. Spider-Man has definitely made sense. Age of Ultron has allowed some of these to make sense as well now, too. So, very glad for that. Spider-Man No Way Home. I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was a really good action movie. I thought it had really good comedy in it. Really good callbacks to all the other movies prior to this one. It was a nice surprise to see some of the returning characters for this film as well. You know, we saw Electro. We saw the Green Goblin. We saw Doc Ock. You know what I mean? And then you tie in, you know, Doctor Strange. You got Wong. You know, just all this good stuff. And, of course, you can never go wrong with having Marissa Tomei on the screen. I've had a huge thing for Marissa Tomei since My Cousin Vinny came out. One of my first crushes, you know. Also had you know, you had Sandman in this movie. You had the Lizard. Like you brought everything together. And then even in the post credit scenes and the mid credit scenes and all that, you know what I mean. You had Tom Hardy reprise his role as Eddie Brock in Venom, which is going to tease I guess the next movie, the sequel, the third one or the fourth one. I mean. We're going to finally see maybe Venom versus Spider-Man, or maybe they'll team up. Maybe Carnage will somehow get involved and Venom and Spider-Man have to, maybe the first half of the movie is them clashing and then Carnage gets involved and then they have to team up and take out Carnage. I don't know. I'm just spitballing. But Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker, those trilogy of movies I thought were really good, except the third one wasn't as strong. I really liked the first one. The second one, I guess I didn't watch it as many times as the first one, so it's not as memorable for me. But I do know that the second one is very critically acclaimed. I have not seen any of the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies. But from No Way Home, I enjoyed his portrayal from that view of him as Peter Parker and Spider-Man. When the three of them were on screen together, Tom Holland, Andrew Garfield, and Tobey Maguire, they bounced off each other very well. You really felt that they were the same character, but just in three different universes and three different ages, three different experience levels of life as both Peter Parker and the life that they have, you know, come to know as Spider-Man. So they were able to kind of help each other out and bounce things off of each other and lift each other up and work together. Like the scene where Andrew Garfield was talking about how, you know, he doesn't feel like he's amazing, right? And they were like, no, you're amazing. And he goes, no, you guys are amazing. It's a nice little friendly Spider-Man discussion of the friendly, amazing Spider-Man, right? And they're all telling each other all amazing. Or when Tobey Maguire was showing off that he could shoot his web through his wrist, and Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland were just amazed by that because theirs is, you know, technology based. And Tom Holland asking him, can you shoot web out of any other part of your body? And just the innocence of Tobey Maguire just being like, no, I can't. You know, it was funny. It was just good stuff. And then one of the star of the freaking show for me was Willem Dafoe as Norman Osborn, Green Goblin. I thought he did a phenomenal job. He did a great job in the first Spider-Man movie 20 years ago. And he did an even better job in this one because there was a moment when he first showed up and it's like, uh-oh, here comes the Green Goblin and just this dastardous, evil son of a bitch just ruining everything. And then you felt sorry for him. And they did a really good job getting you to feel sorry for him as Norman. He's going to help everyone. try to, you know, fix their problems and whatnot. And then came the turn, as what we call in wrestling, right? The turn. He turned on him. He turned heel. That bastard, the baby face, boom, the good guy, revealing himself that all along he's been a bad guy. But at the very end, it revealed too that Norman was still there. The Green Goblin is just, you know, he took over. But there was still Norman, still deep inside there. Norman was a good guy. And it wasn't until the very, very, very end. Very, very end. But I think the character development across this movie was phenomenal. They pull at the heartstrings. Like I said, the movie's been out long enough. I could talk about some of the stuff without spoiling it for people, right? Marissa Tomei's character, May Parker, who dies in this movie. That scene was heart-wrenching. And then to cap it off and to just to kind of like bring everything all back together. And it's a huge turning point for this version of Spider-Man, for Tom Holland as Peter Parker, as May Parker dying in his arms, Peter Parker's arms. She says, "With great power, there must also come great responsibility. The moral compass in the life of Peter Parker, Tom Holland's Peter Parker." She dies in his arms. And she says the line. I'll say it again. "With great power, there must also come great responsibility." And that's it right there, man. That was like going to finishing school for Tom Holland as Peter Parker and Spider-Man. Because I think in the next movie, I think we're going to have a different feel for this Spider-Man, a different feel for this Peter Parker, especially now too, with how the movie ended, where nobody remembered who Peter Parker was. They hit the reset button on him. Nobody remembers who he is. Nobody remembers who he is. Now, before I head out for this episode and I close everything off, one more thing that I wanted to mention as well. I've never seen the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies, but I did see that somebody had made a comment on Twitter that I saw about Andrew Garfield. I guess in his movies, he failed to save Gwen Stacy in one of the movies. And in No Way Home, he saves MJ. And he kind of like... It's like, what's the word that I'm trying to, I can't even think of the word right now. And it really frustrates me when I'm trying to think of something like that. It just doesn't come. He redeems himself, I guess. I could say the redeem. He had another moment to be able to do that. And he redeemed himself. I'm just going to leave it at that. Otherwise, I'm going to like just dwell on it and start rambling for no reason. But yeah, overall, man, Spider-Man, No Way Home, really good movie. This trilogy of Spider-Man movies with Tom Holland as the star have been great. They've been very strong. I think I can say right now that Spider-Man No Way Home is my favorite Marvel movie right now. Iron Man 1 was my number one favorite for a very, very, very long time. And I think we finally now have a movie in my books that is now the new number one, and that's Spider-Man No Way Home. Iron Man 1 moves to number 2, and Age of Ultron moves to number 3. So there you go. All right. I want to thank everybody out there for tuning in to the podcast, this edition. I've got like a long list of things that I want to do episodes on. We got the Spider-Man review. I want to talk about the Marvel timeline. Yesterday, I went and I saw American Underdog. Kind of sounded like I had a stroke there. American Underdog. I saw American Underdog yesterday with Zachary Levy and Anna Paquin. And, you know, I want to give my review of that as well. The episode for that. We're going to do another recasted episode pretty soon, too. I haven't figured out what movie I want to recast, but I want to do an 80s flashback movie too. Not just a review, but just to kind of like, you know, bring a couple friends on, kind of talk about the essence of what makes a really good 80s movie, and then pick apart of a particular movie from the 80s. And I've got a really good movie listed right here. And I know the two perfect people to have on to discuss that movie. The movie that I want to do an 80s flashback on is the movie Best of the Best. It took place like in the very, very late 80s. It was 89 is when it came out. But if you want to talk about like 80s, like that kind of captures a lot of essence of the 80s. But we'll save that for that episode. Anyway. So if you want to check us out, Cinema Flare on social media, just go to cinemaflare.com. We've got all the links on there as well. We got watch parties over on Twitch. We're going to be doing some more of those in the next couple weeks. So stay tuned for that. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, I'm Wade Needham saying thank you, good night, and be cool.